the opportunity that we can meditate upon the truth of God, each time we'll be gathered together. And this morning we have another very pertinent topic, so important for our lives, meditating on the topic of church and repentance. That's the main theme, church and repentance. I narrowed it down to this subtitle, Need for Christians, Need for Christians to Daily Repent of Their Sins. The need for all of us, for Christians, to daily repent of their sins. That's what this morning I want to discuss together with us as a church. The life of a true believer, you and I, the life of a true believer is one of continual repentance. Take note of that. Christians' life is a life of what? Continuous repentance. Repentance is not something that we experience at the time of our conversion. Yes, there we repent. We confess our sin before God. That's repentance. At the time of believing in God, as we confess, as we repent of our sin, God forgives our sin and adopts us, takes us into His family. We become the children of God. But don't ever think that repentance is over there. Repentance is a continuous involvement, a continuous engagement for Christians. Why? Because we still have the sinful atmosphere within us. Also, although we are God's people, as we become the children of God, the influence of the very sinful nature that we live in pull us back. We struggle with certain addictions, although we need to overcome those addictions. We struggle with certain habits, also we need to overcome those habits, which God will enable us, which we meditated last few Lord's days, the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we are no more, what? Defeated Christians, we are overcomers. So now, as we face sin's influences, and that is every day, that influence is there. How do we deal with those situations? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, this is an important verse with regard to repentance. So let me read in the introduction itself. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a beautiful promise. If we confess our sin, in other words, if we acknowledge our sin, if we repent of our sin, it's talking about Christians. God will forgive. God is faithful and just to forgive us, forgive our sins and to cleanse us. It is God's commitment for us, as we are His children, to keep us holy unto Him, for which God has provided the way, that is repentance. We would be tempted at times. No matter how much careful we are, at times we may fall into temptation. And there, how do we? God has provided this provision. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. While God was speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor, Christian believers, seven churches of Asia Minor, and that's what just now Bible read for our scripture reading, the message to the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. We only read the message to the church at Ephesus. You read through even the other six churches. The Lord Jesus Christ constantly tells them, you must repent. For the church at Ephesus, we read, right, verse 5, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove your candlestick, your lampstand, out of its place, unless you repent. So don't ever think that I have already repented of my sin, now I am a believer. There is no chance whatsoever I need to repent. No. It is a Christian calling. Our life continuously a life of repentance. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Revelation chapter 2, verse 16. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. All these verses, these are the Lord addressing different churches. The Lord tells them, you repent, you repent. A message to Christians, repentance. Now, a few things I want to very quickly bring to your attention about this important topic of repentance. First, many of us have so many misunderstandings about the doctrine of repentance. I want to highlight what are the normal misunderstandings, what not repentance is, the misconceptions, the misunderstandings. I have mentioned here four misunderstandings of what repentance is not. One, repentance is not feeling sorry for our sin. Repentance is not feeling sorry for our sin. Repentance is not we feel a regretful attitude. Oh Lord, I am so sorry I have done this sin. Repentance is more than feeling sorry. Apostle Paul talks to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. Not feeling sorry, Lord, I have done this. Repentance is more than feeling sorry. A criminal who is jailed for the crime that he committed, he feels sorry for his crime. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. That's why I ended up in jail. Now, after he is acquitted, or after he is sent out from the jail, he will go and do the same thing. They are hardcore criminals. The mind is very criminal, you know, that kind of thing. They may feel sorry at times, but that is not what repentance. Repentance is not a license to sin. Secondly, repentance is not a license to sin. No, we may sometimes think, anyway, the provision of repentance is there, so I can go on and sin. The word of the Lord says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. So never mind, I can commit sin and repent. Again sin, repent. Sin, again repent. Can we fool God like that? Yes, there is a provision of repentance when we sin, but that is not a license to continuously live in sin. It is not a license to habitually indulge in sinful things. Though we are aware, it displeases God. Paul says, as he writes to the Romans, when sin increases, God's grace also will increase. When sin increases, God's grace also increases, right? That's why salvation has come to us. When we became completely, what we call, dirty. Sin so much increased in the world, we became totally depraved, right? That's the increase of sin. Sin abounded so much, we became utterly sinful. No one would be able to help us in our sinfulness, right? That's what happened for all of us. There, what happened? God's grace abounded. God's grace increased so much. Romans 5:20. God sent His only begotten Son. Salvation has come to us. Paul explains that. But wait for a moment. After Paul said, when sin increased, grace also increased, Paul comes to Romans chapter 6. Do you know what Paul said there? What shall we say then? If sin increased, where God's grace also increased, shall we continue to sin? Listen what Paul said in Romans 6 verse 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is certainly not. Certainly not. Very strong negative. No, not at all. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Romans 6:2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? My dearly brethren, please take note. Repentance is not a license for us to continue to sin. Say that, oh, after that I just repent and God will forgive. We are taking God's grace for granted. Understood? We are taking God's grace for granted. We want to be so clever. God says, no, certainly not. We have to pay a very heavy price. If we continuously live in certain addictions, we will end up paying very heavy price. So don't ever take repentance is a license to sin. Number 3, repentance is not to avoid consequences of sin. Repentance is not to avoid consequences of sin. When Christians commit sin, although he receives forgiveness, as he rightfully confesses his sin before God, now listen to this, disciplinary chastisement will be there. What will be there? Disciplinary chastisement will be there. Let's say I have sinned and I have repented of my sin, because the word of the Lord says repent, and when I repent God will forgive. But that does not mean that no punishment will be there. You got the point? Although we are called to repent and we genuinely repent, sincerely repent, that it does not mean that chastisement will be avoided or God will not chastise us. God will chastise us. Now, but this chastisement is not God's punishment out of his wrath. Got it? It is not God punishing us out of his wrath, punishing us to our destruction. No. It is chastisement. It is disciplinary. So even if we repent a particular sin that we have committed, we must be prepared for what? We must be prepared for disciplinary chastisement. God will discipline us. Let me read a verse in this regard. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 6. Hebrews chapter 12. My son, do not despise the chastisement of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastises and scourges every son whom he receives. Ah. The chastisement of the Lord is not retributive. Retributive means it comes out of, like, in the penal court, a person is sentenced to death. That is retribution. He must go to that destruction because he deserved that. But Heavenly Father, when we commit a sin and ready to sincerely repent before God, he will not punish us with that retributive to destroy us. No. The chastisements, God's chastisement, which we must receive because we have sinned, although we repent sincerely. It is to rebuke us. It is to correct us. Like we have children. When our children commit a wrong thing, do we punish them? A loving father or a loving mother must punish the child. Not to destroy the child, but to correct the child. To let the child know the wrong thing that he or she committed is wrong. Shouldn't have been done. Father forgives. Mother forgives. Father and mother will not send out the child, "Oh, you go out from the house. You have done this wrong thing, so you are no more my child." No, no father will ever say. But the father, mother, a loving father, mother, punishes a child who has done something wrong. It must be done. It is chastisement, not retributive for the destruction of the child. It is for correction. So even if we repent, we must be ready to face the consequences. So repentance is not to avoid consequences of sin. One more thing let me mention in the negative, what repentance is not. Repentance is not making request to God through any human saints or mediators. Repentance is not that we are praying to God through some human mediators. Repentance is not we are asking some saints or some holy people, "Can you please plead to my Heavenly Father?" So you stand in between me and God. "Can you please pray to God that my sins will be forgiven?" That is not repentance. Why I mention this is a common practice in many churches. There are confession boxes, right? You know, I don't need to mention. You don't need any confession box. When you commit a sin, when you come to the presence of the Lord, be encouraged to confess our sin. You don't need to come to me. You don't need to come to any holy people in this world to make that confession. It is wrong. Confession boxes are wrong. You and I, we have the privilege God has given us to directly approach and repent of our sin. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, Apostle Paul reminds Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is only one mediator, my dear brothers and sisters, between God and man. Who is that mediator? Christ Jesus. So we have that privilege God has given us. And that's why Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, the author of Hebrews says, we have the great high priest who has gone through all our infirmities except sin. Christ Jesus, the great high priest. And then the author of Hebrews immediately says, we can come boldly into his presence. We can come boldly, you and I. No matter how dirty sinner you are, we can come boldly. No need to go to any mediator. So please take note, these are four things. Repentance is not feeling sorry for sin. Repentance is not just a license to sin. Repentance is not to avoid the consequences of sin. Repentance is not making requests to God through any human mediators. Then what is repentance? What repentance is? Let me mention a few things just to explain very plainly what repentance is. Repentance in a nutshell involves three things. Okay? Repentance in a nutshell, in a very succinct summary form, involves three things. What are they? One, recognition of our sins. We recognize our sins. Lord, I have sinned. Don't legitimize sin when you do, when we commit a sin. Don't come to God with all the, Lord, it is because of this I sinned. We try to argue with God. No, no, never. Never legitimize. Rather, Lord, I have sinned. Acknowledge sin. That's the first step in repentance. Recognition of our sin. Number two, renunciation of our sin. Renunciation means set aside. Throw it away. Give up. Renunciation. Give up. Renunciation of our sin, ready to forsake that sinful habit that we are in. And thirdly, return to God. Return to God. Let me mention once again all the three things. First, we acknowledge, that's the recognition, we acknowledge our sin before God. Secondly, ready to give up. And this is a strong decision that we must take when we repent. Lord, I know this sin is really disturbing me. I being your child, I don't want to continue with that sinful habit. I want to get out of this devil's ploy to destroy me, my family, my reputation, my relationship with you. I want to renounce. I want to get out of this devil's ploy. And then finally, return to God. That is surrender, submission. Return to God. Let me read a verse from Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Apostle Peter, while talking to the Jewish people, he just explained to them, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, 19. You can open your Bibles to that. For me, this is an important verse on repentance. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Take note, two words. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. Oh, I love this verse. What an encouragement. Peter tells those Jewish religious leaders, repent
Confess your sin.
And then be converted. So repentance involves what?
Confession.
Genuine recognition. And then ready to get out of it. Be converted. Change of heart. First, confess. Say, Lord, I have sinned. Confess your sin. And then be converted. Don't continue to indulge in that. Saying that, oh, I can again repent. No. Take your sin so seriously. Be converted. Don't be delighted in again and again going back to the same thing. You are a dirty Christian. You are a defeated Christian.
Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. God will forgive your sin. God will throw your sin into the Big Bay of Bengal or the Mediterranean Sea. God will never remember it again. He will throw it away. And what will happen? The times of refreshing will come. You will be freed from guilt. You will be freed from that, oh, I have done this. How can I pray to God? I am so burdened. Who will deliver me? When we sincerely repent and throw away that habit. Peter says it here, oh, times of refreshment will come. You will be greatly relaxed. You will really enjoy the joy of salvation. From where? From the presence of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, do you experience this in your life? You are a true Christian. So for me, Acts chapter 3 verse 19 is an important verse on repentance. This is the mark that you and I are genuine, true, serious Christians. We want to repent our sin. We want to be truly converted people. Means a heart where who rules supreme? The Holy Spirit of God rules supreme. That's a converted heart. Regeneration. Remember we studied that last 2 weeks. Regeneration already happened. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of God is there indwelling us. He is able to give us victory. We may fail here and there, but immediately we repent. Immediately we confess. So the Lord will restore unto us the joy of salvation. We will be able to sing and praise. The times are refreshing. No matter how much our children are disobedient, we want to hug them because they come to us. Papa, please forgive me. Mummy, please forgive me. We want to hug them. We want to enjoy them, right? That's the relationship of our Heavenly Father. That's not a license for the children to continue to sin. We work them nicely. Nicely give them. They should feel the pain. Because we love them. We want them to understand. If you don't do that, their life is in spoil, in destruction. But we discipline them accordingly, and we love them so much. We embrace them. Times of refreshing. That's the true relationship Heavenly Father desires to, you know, to experience it together with us from the presence of God. So that is what true repentance, Christian repentance. Now let me also mention very briefly the benefits. What are the benefits of repentance? What are the benefits of repentance? Number one, repentance allows God to forgive our sin and to restore us unto Him and to purify us. Repentance, when we truly confess our sin, what will happen within us? God will forgive us. Right? That's a promise He already gave. If you confess, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins
and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance is a chance for God to forgive us and to restore us unto the fellowship of enjoying the presence of God. And He will purify us. He will purify us. That's why in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, we were told, and even Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, when we return to God, what God will do? When we return to God, God will return to us. You know the story of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son went away from God. Away and away and away. But if he never returned, what would have been the state? If he never returned, his life would have been complete destruction. Father lost the child. Father lost the child. And many parents, I tell you, many parents who never discipline their children, they end up losing their children. You got the point? Many parents end up losing their children. Losing to the world. I just read 2 days ago, a girl who comes from a very good family, very beautiful young lady, 23 or 24, highly educated, worked so hard. She got a very good job in the software industry. 2 days ago, she was caught along with her friend with the drugs. She's already living in a relationship with a boy who works with her. Nobody knew. All her colleagues praising her because she worked so hard and very good in her workplace, very talented, very smart young girl. And then she was caught with this very expensive drug together with her friend. That's where the whole thing came out. Parents lose their children into drugs, into immoral living. People take things into their own hands. Go astray from God and never come back. But we thank God for the prodigal son. When the real sense came to his mind and in his heart that he sinned against his father, he came back. He confessed sincerely from his heart to the father, "Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me." So he, when he got the real sense of what was happening in his life, he came back. Repentance allows God to forgive. So the father, waiting for the son to come, from distance he saw the son coming and ready to embrace the son, right? Restore, forgive and restore. And then told his servants, "Let us have a party celebration." That's the benefit of repentance. Having tasted the mercies and grace of God, don't go far away, far away, far away from God. You would be a lost child. You may never come back. Never come back to the fold. The world will take your life and you will be in utter destruction. Repent. Repentance allows God to forgive, restore and purify us. Number two, repentance drives the devil away from us. Repentance drives the devil away from us. James chapter 4 verse 7. James chapter 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't welcome Satan
into our lives. For that, don't welcome. Many Christians, we prepare nice sofas, nice bed in our homes for Satan. Our uncontrolled anger, our addictions, our bad language, the problem in our relationship between husband and wife, these all are hooks for the devil to come and get in and destroy our relationship with God. So when you acknowledge, oh, there is a problem in my relationship with my wife, why should I do? I should sit down with her. This going is not nice. This is not the right way. We must deal with this. Otherwise the children would be looking at this and they are learning this and they will end up doing the worst. And we will not have the moral authority to correct our children. Because we ourselves have messed up. Mummy and daddy messed up their lives. Then what moral authority we have to correct our children? Parents, please take note of this. So important. If you realize something wrong going in relationship, immediately sit together. Repent. Each other. And repent unto God. Lord, forgive. Give us the grace that we move on in the right way. Repentance drives the devil away. Don't allow the devil to come in and enjoy. We have nothing to do with the devil. Please. We must have the courage. We must have the boldness to say, devil, you are out. In our relationship with our children, relationship between husband and wife, the way that we handle our money, finance, the way we build our own lives. Clear conscience. Clear conscience. When we repent before God, the devil is out. Number three. Okay, first thing, repentance allows God forgive us, restore the relationship and purify us. Number two, repentance drives the devil away from us. Number three, repentance frees us from the torment of sin. Repentance liberates us from the torment of sin. I told you earlier, when we committed a sin, we don't want to admit that sin. We don't want to repent. Because for repentance, what is what needed? You need to acknowledge it. Admit it. Let's say, if we don't acknowledge it, we are not ready to repent, that will torment us. That will give us that burden, that guilt feeling. I can assure you, from my own experience, almost every one of us experienced that torment in our lives. I'm talking about Christian, because we take sin not seriously, lightly. We live in guilt feeling. We're so burdened. We are not able to do anything. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to pray. Because we are overpowered by that guilty feeling. Oh, I am always a defeated person. I can't handle this problem. Guilty feeling. The devil torments us, my dear friends. Because we want to enjoy the pleasures of this world. Repentance frees us from the torment of sin. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us come therefore boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. One more thing, the fourth thing. The fourth benefit of repentance. Repentance leads us to the fullness of life with Christ. Repentance leads us into the fullness of life. To enjoy the relationship, which will happen only with repentance. I acknowledge my sin. I repent
As a result, what comes? I have the fullness of life. Revelation 3:19. In one of the churches, the Lord told, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Now, many people misunderstood that this is a verse talking about an unbeliever. This is not talking about an unbeliever. This is talking about you and I. It's talking about the believers. It's talking about repentance. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." It is enjoying the fullness of relationship even after we become believers, my dear friends. We keep God, we keep the Holy Spirit, we chase God out of our lives. You agree with me? And that's why we are failed Christians. We chase God out of our lives. We say, "God will accept me, God will be merciful unto me." And what we are missing out, we miss out so much. I am so much concerned with this point. So much concerned with this point. That we need to be careful in dealing with these things. That we don't want to live in such a situation. We don't enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember earlier I read that the times of refreshment will come from the presence of God. That is the benefit of repentance. The fullness of enjoying. 99% of Christians, 99% of Christians do not enjoy what I just mentioned here. 99% of Christians. And that is very sad. That's where the devil, you know, takes control of our lives. And we don't realize. This is a very serious matter. And that's why people don't like preaching these kinds of things from pulpits. And you hardly hear these kinds of messages from pulpits. And I have been always reminding us, I'm not scared when you have only, you know, this only very few people here. I am not scared. I am not frightened. It is my responsibility to continue to teach and preach the church that this is what Christianity is all about. Right? I am not preaching from anywhere. I am preaching from God's word. And today's message, if you see it, you know all the verses. For every point, I am just reading out the verses. Not from my mind. Not from my heart. But this is from the heart of God. My dear friends, this is what true Christianity. Don't allow the devil to fool us. You got the point? This is what true Christianity. Unfortunately, we don't want to listen. Unfortunately, we don't want to take this into heart. Because this is Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 7, right? This is the narrow way. This is the narrow way. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come and will dine with him and he with me." That is the perfect relationship. Perfect relationship. The times of refreshment will come from the presence of God. May the Lord help us. We truly experience the times of refreshment every day. It is not for certain occasions. Every day times of refreshment. As we come to the final part of this morning's message, I don't want to take much time, but I want to bring to recognition one of the important examples in the Bible. One of the important examples from the Bible about true repentance. Who is that example? David. Yes, David. What a picture we see in David. David stands before us as one of the great examples of true repentance. The two Psalms, by the way, God's Holy Spirit, in His great divine guidance, recorded two Psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. And I want us to read this morning both the Psalms as we come to the conclusion of the message. Psalm 51. First, turn with me to Psalm 51. But before I bring you to Psalm 51, can you please turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11, the background. 2 Samuel chapter 11, the background for Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Just only one verse I want to read for you. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27. And when the morning was past, David sent and brought her, the Bathsheba, to his house, and she became his wife and bear him a son. David would have been very happy if the story ended there. David would have been very happy if the story ended there. But you take a look into the second part of that verse. What is there? There's a but, right? There is a but. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. The word displeased means was evil in the sight of the Lord. Take note. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. 2 days ago, I was meditating this portion as my morning meditation. I almost broke down. I cried before God as I read this. And I read verse 27. When I read the last part of verse 27, I almost cried before God. The thought that came to my mind was this. This should have never happened for David. This should have never happened for David. And this should never happen for any child of God. It happened for David. David took a woman, the wife of his friend, the wife of his employee, and lied with her and made her pregnant, and he killed the husband to take possession of that woman. And how many wives David already had? So many wives. And still he was not satisfied. This devoted soldier of his army. Terrible sin, my dear friends. If you sit down and meditate on this, you will break down your heart. How could David do this? But by the way, that is what sin, that is what human nature. This thing can happen to any one of us. But my prayer, this thing should never happen in any one of us lives. It happened, David's life,
And when he realized it happened, now what was his response? Psalm 51. Would you please turn with me to Psalm 51? Psalm 51. David's response was this: "Have mercy upon God, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David acknowledged that he did a great mistake. "Lord, have mercy upon me. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." Verse 3, "I acknowledge my transgressions." That's what I told you right earlier. The true repentance is what we acknowledge. We recognize that we have sinned. And David did this exactly. And then he cried out before the Lord, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Cast me not away from your presence." Verse 11, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He was so frightened. He really felt the burden of sin. For a time he in fact hid the sin until Prophet Nathan came. He thought nobody knew about it because wife Uriah, he already killed him. And then joyfully, when Uriah died, joyfully David took her in. "Her husband has died already, and so nobody will question me. Those days the kings, you know, they can do anything. Not one wife, three wives, five wives. Added one more." Joyfully started living. He hid the sin. And later on, the guilt is already there, right? Guilt was already there. And he felt the burden. He felt the burden. "Create in me a clean heart." Finally he cried out, "Cast not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation." Now, Psalm 32 also. Don't have the time to read the entire, but let me just read a few verses from Psalm 32. This is a psalm also David wrote from the same background. Now listen to this. When he acknowledged sin, his sin that he committed before God and repented. Verse 1, Psalm 32, verse 1. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is he whose sin is covered." What a beautiful verse. Verse 2. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, but in whose spirit there is no guile." Blessed is the man in whose account sin is not placed. He rightfully confessed before God. God took away, removed from his account sin. And that's what happened to David. Because he acknowledged his sin, he repented very sincerely before God. So what God did to him, God blessed him with forgiveness. God covered him with righteousness. God's forgiveness. And God took away that sin, the punishment of the retributive punishment. He will be facing the consequences, but that is not retributive. The retributive would be God should throw him away from the kingdom, from his presence. No. As he sincerely confessed the sin before God, the Lord said, "Yes, David, I will forgive. I will restore unto you the joy of salvation. You will continue to live as my child. I will come and you will have the refreshment. The times of refreshment will be there. The relationship will be there with me." But consequences, David had to face consequences. And severe consequences David faced. David's life will not be same again practically. There are horrible sins happened. Time is already up. One of David's son lied with his daughter. David's daughter, in other words, David's son, Ammon, had sex with his sister, stepsister, in front of David. And now tell me, would David be able to correct his son Ammon? No. He became morally so weak. That's why I told you earlier in my message, if we are not morally correct, if we do not safeguard our life, we are morally so weak, we will not be able to correct our children. That's why always I pray unto the Lord, for me to preach from this pulpit, I must guard my life. That's why I always request you to pray for me. Otherwise I am committing a worse crime in my life. I must have the moral authority. I am also a sinful person. So please remember to pray for your pastor and the elders here. David had no moral authority because of this consequence. These are the consequences. But God forgave his sin. Told him, I will not blot out me from my presence. I will not throw you away. David could continue the relationship with God, but with so many problems in his kingdom. His own son, Absalom, rebelled against him. Absalom only killed Ammon, his brother, because of the sin that he committed. So many, I don't have the time to explain, but I plead with this congregation why I spend this much time this morning, that to with so much burden, the topic of repentance, is for us to learn this important lesson. I want to read in conclusion just one verse. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, please? Matthew chapter 4. How crucial repentance is. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus just began his public ministry. And where did Jesus begin? Jesus was so careful to begin with the right note. Jesus began to preach. He went around and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is the message this morning, my dearly beloved, to my brothers and sisters. This is my message. You must not miss out. Repent, the kingdom of God is near. What are we so busy with? Tell me, what are we so busy with? Enjoy the pleasures of this world. Acquire so much money, money, money. No time to care for our children. No time to guard the relationship between husband and wife. We live in all filthiness. What are we accomplishing in this world? Remember, the kingdom of God, heaven is so near. So what should we do? Repent. Watch over our lives. Now you know what does it mean by repentance, sir. Acknowledge sin. Confess before God. Come back to Him. Enjoy the times of refreshment from heaven, not from the filth of this world. The filth of the world will give us a refreshment, worldly refreshment. But you and I live with all kinds of guilt. Satan laughing over us. That's the refreshment of the world. But we, our Heavenly Father, wants us to enjoy the refreshment of heaven, times of refreshment from heaven. Repent. May the Lord help us, shall we pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this
reminder this morning